Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, guess what? This is Craig.
Hey, this is Aaron.
And you're listening to Weird, the number one podcast on the planet.
Yes.
I just declared that.
In our minds.
I nabbed it. I blabbed it. Wait, I blabbed it, then I nabbed it.
Nab it and blab it.
Nab it and blab it.
That's what they say.
It's the number one podcast in the universe. Hey, welcome. This is Craig, and this is Aaron, and we are on Weird.
And we're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios.
We are. I forget all that. They know where we are.
Just outside of Nashville.
We're now that we have skyrocketed to the number one podcast on the planet.
Yes. You know why?
Because in our minds, we believe we are.
No, it's the new website.
Because, you think that's what it is?
Yeah, because the show notes now are so spectacular. People can go and they hear a show here, they can go read about it.
You know what?
What?
Our show is so good now.
Yeah.
I dare you. I don't think you'll do it. Go tell five of your friends about it.
Yeah. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
I triple dare you.
Some kind of rule.
I broke something when I tried to say that.
But anyway, it's at weirdnewspodcast.com. You can't miss it.
Yep, weirdnewspodcast.com. Hey, go tell five of your friends.
Top story.
Headline is, parents in the doghouse after Scooby Snacks mix-up.
Bro.
The Wagnall Chronicle.
The what?
Wagnall.
Pulled something. Be careful.
Reports that the Scooby Snack brand treats, complete with a picture of Scooby-Doo, were accidentally placed near the chips and snacks aisle at a local pack-and-save supermarket.
Oh, pack-and-save. But you know what?
What?
Here, this is obviously somewhere else.
Obviously.
I mean, outside of the U.S. You know, here they put the Frosty Paws.
Yeah.
Right there with the ice cream.
Yeah, I
wonder how
that.
Many people walk up and grab those going, oh, this is some new ice cream called Frosty Paws. Dad, you're eating liver.
That's gross.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's right there with that
frozen
other stuff.
Liver.
Yeah, ugh. You're eating frozen doggy treat.
It appears that customers may have mistaken them for similarly packaged bone-shaped biscuits featuring the mystery-solving canine. I've seen those. I've seen Scooby Snacks for adults in the cookie aisle.
Yeah.
They make them. That's what they're confusing them with here.
Well, maybe you should read the label.
Maybe. According to the paper, the product packaging states that they are a pet food product only, human-friendly but not recommended, a fact not noticed by many parents until it was too late. Now notices have gone up in local schools advising adults to check lunchboxes.
Mom, these cookies taste like feces.
If you find Milk-Bone in your kid's lunchbox, you got a problem. However, the Foodstuffs company, which owns the Pack and Save chain, insists that the dog treats were not placed near the snacks meant for children and were clearly labeled as being for pets.
Who's to say some scamp didn't move them around in the store?
That's true. This is something you would do, Craig. And you and your and your chocolate milk coming from brown cows. Spokeswoman Annette Laird told the News Hub website that unfortunately it appears some customers mistook them for human food, and now the store has now withdrawn them from sale. On reflection, why do you do that? Why do you take them completely off sale?
Why do you look in a mirror?
Why don't you just put them back where they were supposed to be? It's not the store's fault or Scooby Snack's
fault. You guys don't want them, me and Scoob will eat them.
Parents on social media.
That's the best I got.
That's good. We're aghast. And one saying, I wonder why my boy didn't like the taste of them. Another posted, a child at work had these today, but by the time I saw it, she had eaten all of them. She must have liked them.
Yeah, kids are known to, I know, weird kids.
Yeah.
I think my sister was one when she was little.
Really?
That eat dog food.
Oh.
That kids eat dog food.
I've heard of old people that don't have any money eating
now. I think the doctor told my mom, don't worry about it. It probably had more protein, more stuff in it, you know.
Yeah.
It's what you got to watch out for.
Was she scratching behind her ears?
You know what you got to watch out for?
What?
Those meat byproducts.
Oh, yuck. One parent described the entire episode. I was absolutely mortified when I gave them to my daughter. She took one bite and said, this is rubbish. I looked at the packet closely and gasped, oh no, I'm so sorry, I just fed you dog food. That's not something you want to hear from your mom.
I would just go.
Or
with the,
mom.
I would just, yeah, mom. I would just go with the flow. I wouldn't even say
anything. Sure, I'd say, mom, it's okay. Mom, it's fine. According to News Hub, the Scooby Snacks were advertised as supporting bone strengthening and skin and coat health. Wow, that's a nice coat.
My daughter's skin has got a great sheen now.
And look at her coat hanging in the closet.
She
it's very
nice
shiny.
Coat. That coat wasn't there yesterday.
These are not likely to be an issue for young children.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know about those fake cigarettes, right?
Yeah, like the e-cigs?
Sure.
Yeah.
Fake cigarette that could steal your files?
Oh, that's a mean cig.
Does it sneak in through a window?
I don't know
through
how
your
it does it.
Filing cabinet?
I hadn't read it.
Oh, like digital files.
Oh.
Researchers have found more controversy with electronic cigarettes, but this time it doesn't affect your health. The vaping devices can be modified in a fashion that allows hackers to attack computers when it's plugged into the USB port.
Now, I've heard some smokers who are hackers. Because
they hack a lot.
They do, yeah.
That's really kind of been in front of us the whole time. We never thought about it.
Really?
If you hack a lot,
you're a smoker.
You're probably a hacker.
Yes. Exactly.
Didn't think about that at all.
It should be easy for the cops to find those hackers.
Well, then again, you shouldn't be able to walk in and get a taser from a cop if you're 16. By adding a hardware chip with a pre-written script, cyber thieves can meddle with traffic or trick the computer into thinking it's a keyboard to carry out commands. E-cigs are currently caught in the middle of a health debate. As numerous studies have argued that they are either better or worse, I'm going with worse, than traditional tobacco cigarettes. But experts have yet to come to a conclusion because they haven't had their palms greased enough yet.
Exactly. You know, our health, our lungs were made to breathe air.
Right.
They weren't made to breathe smoke. They weren't made to breathe water vapor.
Right.
They're made to breathe
air. Even with water vapor, they weren't made to breathe in artificial flavoring and, you know.
Yeah, all that stuff that's in there.
Maple nut, brownie flavored, whatever.
Yeah. So either one of them, I'd say just don't inhale anything into your lungs.
Don't do it.
Just inhale air. You know what? Get high on life, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
what we do.
No, I don't actually.
You get low on life.
I get low on life. However, a recent discovery has made one risk of these devices very clear. Because a majority of the vaporizers are charged via USB port, they seem to openly invite hackers to modify them into stealth weapons. The discovery was made by Ross Bevington. You know Ross.
Oh, Mr. Bevington's boy.
Yeah, who was a security researcher and proper C++ software developer who specializes in low-level computer security, because he's not real tall like you. He can't get to the higher levels. And bespoke system development. Bevington recently gave a demonstration of how an electronic cigarette, e-cig, as the cool kids say, isn't just a glorified smoke machine, but an ARM-powered covert exploit platform. I think he's over-exaggerating this. He shared in the description of his presentation during B-Sides London.
So those e-cigs are bad news all the way around.
I think somebody gave this guy, who is a low-level computer security guy, a little bit of fame, and he got up there and started making a big deal out of it.
That's what it sounds like.
This is a covert exploit format.
Yeah.
It's a platform.
Well, Amazon's at it again.
Are they?
Yeah. Amazon has a patent to keep you from comparing. Headline is, Amazon has a patent to keep you from comparison shopping while you're in its stores.
This is Amazon stores?
Yeah, the brick and mortar ones. It's kind of weird, but anyway.
Is that the one? Who is it you walk in, you just take stuff, put it in your cart, and it charges you when you walk out?
Is that Amazon, I believe.
You don't even have to, like, it knows when you pick stuff up and put it in your cart.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's apparently crazy accurate. It knows if you put it back.
Yeah, it does. It scans everything as you go through the doors.
It's crazy.
And charges it to your Amazon account. As grocery shoppers work to digest Amazon's massive acquisition of Whole Foods,
they're going to digest the entire
$13.7 billion with a B. The digital storefront recently scored a victory that aims to reinforce the company's growing investments in brick and mortar retail. You know, I'm surprised we don't have one yet in Nashville.
I didn't know there was a business, you know, that big of a demand for people to buy brick and or mortar.
Amazon.
I just go to Home Depot.
Amazon was awarded a patent on May 30th that could help it choke off a common issue faced by many physical stores. Customers' use of smartphones to compare prices even as they walk around a shop.
How are they going
to
stop it?
You ever done that?
Yes. It's called showcasing, I think is what they call it.
Barnes & Noble has their Wi-Fi set, so it won't get Amazon.
So I'll switch to LTE.
Yeah, but I haven't tried it. You know, I haven't read them.
Well, you just get off their Wi-Fi.
I'm saying. When I tried it with my iPod back years ago, I had to be on their Wi-Fi in order to
do it. That's a little different.
Yeah,
you're going to use their network. You can do what they
want.
But
now you just use your phone. I thought that was interesting, though. Amazon now has the technology to...
It's not that interesting. People use their phones all the time.
Amazon now has the technology to prevent that type of behavior when customers enter any of its physical stores and log onto the Wi-Fi networks there.
So don't do it.
That's what I'm just saying, too. That's not new. That's been done. Titled Physical Store Online Shopping Control, Amazon's patent describes a system that can identify a customer's internet traffic and sense when a smartphone user is trying to access a competitor's website.
What are they, sore losers?
I don't know. They own everything. They're like the Apple of groceries.
The $5 joint we go to, all it is crappy import stuff from
Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah. When that happens...
Which, by the way, is a lot of really cool, crappy stuff.
A lot of cool stuff. 3D printers and whatnot. Amazon may take one of several actions. It can block access to the competitor's site, preventing customers from viewing comparable products from rivals. It might redirect the customer to Amazon's own site or to other Amazon-approved sites. It might notify the Amazon salesperson to approach the customer, or it might send the customer's smartphone a text message saying, "Stop it!" or a coupon or other information.
Would it say it just like that? I'm willing to use the system if it'll say it just like that.
As Amazon increasingly bridges the online physical divide, regulators should be on the lookout for potentially anti-competitive behavior.
Yeah, they're not going to get away with this.
You don't think so?
Well, they might get away with it if you're on their Wi-Fi, but again, they're not going to get away with it because why would anyone use their Wi-Fi?
Well, if they put like a lot of steel in their walls, maybe you won't get any signals in there.
That, to me, that, again, would be obstruction of some sort. They would get in trouble for basically create. I just don't see. There's too many good lawyers out there.
I don't know. They're Amazon. They are
so
Amazonian.
What? It's like they got robots and, oh, they do.
Droids and drones.
Have you seen the robots that pack the stuff and move stuff around the warehouse?
Yes.
They literally get up underneath racks of stuff and they like kind of do a corkscrew thing. They lift them up off the ground. They roll around the whole. They're going to kill everybody.
They may.
They may.
Robots are coming to get us.
Probably are. Are you done with that story?
I am done with that story.
This is something you and I can relate to.
It's not. This next headline is no surprise at all.
No. Lazy teens are just sitting around, sluggish as 60-year-olds.
Darn it.
Kids are just a bunch of couch potatoes.
Well, tell me something I don't know.
A new Johns Hopkins study found that many teens are as sedentary as people their grandparents' age. Activity levels at the end of adolescence were alarmingly low, and by age 19, they were comparable to 60-year-olds.
Wow.
Says Vadim Zupikov. I think that I pronounced that correctly.
Hey, you did.
The study's author and an assistant professor at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. To get a sense of people's physical activity at different stages of life, scientists looked at a survey from 12,529 people who wore tracking devices for a week to measure their physical activity. Really? They had to put a tracking device on them? I mean, watches do it now. Your crappy Pebble thing does it.
That's a great Pebble thing.
And like phones do it.
I'm thinking, why are they insulting 60-year-olds? That's where my mind's going.
Yeah, because I know some 60-year-olds that never
too.
Stop.
They don't stop. My dad's 80, and he never spends one day just at the house unless he's not feeling well. Most of the time, he's out with my mom. They're doing stuff all day.
Yeah, get off his back already.
Yeah.
Get off his back.
Johns Hopkins.
Yeah, Mr. Johns Hopkins.
Take that S off the end of your name. It doesn't belong
there.
Yeah,
it bugs me. I can't even say it half the time. They discovered that kids and teens aren't moving nearly as much as they should be. According to the World Health Organization, children and teens aged 17 and under should get at least an hour of moderate to vigorous physical activity every day. But researchers found a significant number of kids aged 11 and under fell short of that goal, more than 25% of boys and a whopping 50% of girls. Zupinikov, Zupinikostel, says that we need to start thinking about how to modify daily schedules in schools, for example, to be more conducive to increasing physical activity. Not everyone is just sitting around, though. Upticks were seen. I had an uptick on me yesterday. I did. It was the first one of the...
I hope you didn't get Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
I don't know, man. I had... It's a Lyme disease, I think.
Ooh, that's even worse.
I like lime, though. I do like lime. Lemon's pretty good.
I don't like key lime.
I love key lime.
So does my wife.
But I don't think this particular... I don't think this particular tick carried it.
Maybe not.
Hey, is Lori... Are we allowed to talk about her?
Darn it.
Is she going to make us sing that carrot cake anytime soon?
Oh, my goodness. I hope so.
Darn it.
Oh, dang it. She's in it now. Wow. Anyway, the upticks were seen among 20-somethings and early 30-somethings. Maybe millennials aren't so lazy after all. But sadly, it's all downhill after age 35. Don't I know it. Activity levels decline permanently after that mark.
So not true for me. From age, I'd say, 30 to 40, I was lazy bum on the couch. But at 40, I realized, hey, time's running out. I've been hiking. I've been
podcasting. Yeah, but you still take those 40-hour naps.
Well, that's to regenerate so I can get up and do stuff.
Wait, Doctor Who?
Yes.
Come on.
Headline is...
I took one of those... Hey.
What?
I took one of those Lazarus naps I told you about.
That yes.
Day. You know those you're dead for 3 days? You
yes.
wake up, you're like, where am I?
Yes, those are good ones.
Those are good. You're like delirious
But
and
you
all.
Know your body needs that sleep. If you wake up like that, you were exhausted.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah, it is. Florida man's mousetrap plot fails bigly, Craig. Is that a word?
Bigly?
That sounds like a name.
Bigly, get in here.
Convinced that one of his neighbors was stealing from his mailbox, Nicholas Dibble hatched a plot to literally catch the thief red-handed.
Nick Dibble's boy.
Yes, that's the one. Dibble, a 63-year-old Floridian.
I guess that actually is Nick Dibble. That's not, that's
right.
Not his boy.
And he's lazy, by the way, because he's 63.
He's suspected
that his mail was swiped as retaliation by neighbors upset that he had called the police about criminal activity in his Bradenton neighborhood. In an interview, Dibble referred to that drug dealer across the street and the woman who runs a house of prostitution next door.
Wow.
Yeah, he said it like that.
They had anger issues?
They had to ask him to repeat it.
Yeah.
Dibble, who is disabled and lazy, told TSG that he has lived in the neighborhood for 25 years, adding that he worked nearly 40 hours as a meat cutter for Publix supermarket chain. We had a friend who used to work at Publix.
Yeah, for about 30 seconds.
And what must have seemed a brilliant idea at the time, Dibble placed a mousetrap inside his mailbox and raised the red flag.
He raised the flag.
The goal, a police report notes, was to catch someone stealing his mail. Dibble, investigators noted, had planned to make the mail carrier aware, hey, man, I put a mousetrap in there.
I need you to know, man.
Be real careful. However, since this is Florida and TSG, Dibble's plan, of course, backfired. Cynthia Humphrey Smith, a 37-year-old postal worker, came a different route and time. Last Friday, police reported, when she reached into the mailbox to retrieve outgoing mail, her hand slammed in the trap. Humphrey Smith, who suffered pain and throbbing in the hand, I bet she did.
It's gotta hurt,
told police that her hand had just recently healed from being broken. Oh, that's double duty. Man, this guy better not mail anything important from here on out.
I would go ahead and just beat him with that arm. It couldn't hurt any worse.
When police arrived at Dibble's residence, he was in danger of being arrested for battery. But Dibble said the sweet woman did not want to file charges against
me.
Yeah, nicer than I would have been, I'm sure. Asked about the execution of the mousetrap gambit, Ribble says, well, it just caught the wrong person. So it worked. It caught somebody. While not facing a criminal charge, Dibble's mousetrap stunt resulted in a swift sanction from the United States Postal Service. Employees will no longer deliver mail to his residence.
That did it.
He's done.
Yeah, they don't mess around. They got a reason, a dog attack or something. They're like, nope,
sure,
we're done. You come
no
get
more.
Your mail.
Yep.
And they've got that right.
Complaining that a lack of transportation would make it difficult for him to retrieve his mail, Dibble groused, I am the victim. He's not the victim.
You know, I'm going to Florida here in a few weeks, and I'm going to try my best to find out if people are all that incredibly stupid or if it's just the people on our show.
Well, the last time I was in Florida, last February, I was in a conference the whole time with very smart people. So I never got outside the walls
of
the conference.
They had just basically sort of pulled you guys into a room and sort of quarantined you away from all the
yeah,
stupid people.
That's kind of it. Yeah, they're like, don't go outside. There's people out there.
You don't want to be around these Floridians. Hey, there's a cat that came back.
Finally.
Am I bothering you right now? You want to come back from the bar for a minute? You done with that water you're not supposed to have here in the studios? You know, since we resurfaced the whole place, we renovated.
I'm not supposed to have that water in the studio, but nobody would know if you wouldn't mention it on our podcast.
So anyway, this cat came back.
Yes.
12 years later.
Was it Cat Stevens?
He can go and stay. I don't care if he comes back.
What's his name now? Hawkbard Nuke Dodd or something?
Well, that was sounding kind of racist. You're on the board.
Did it really?
We're getting letters for that.
No, we're not.
It's something Muhammad.
Akbar Candy
know,
Bar
Ali,
or something.
Muhammad yeah. Ali, something like that.
Something.
And we're not being, that's not being mean. His name literally is something, and I don't know what it is,
it's
but
something
it's something
like
along
that
line.
Hawkned.
Yeah. Hawkbar.
Hawkhead.
I just want to say, we are going to so get killed. I just don't remember what his name is.
But he's traveling on a moon shadow. I don't know if you knew that or not.
He's not Cat Stevens anymore, but he came back 12 years later. No, he didn't come back 12 years later. This cat came back 12 years later. Frieda Watson was devastated when her cat, George,
hello, George,
went missing 12 years ago in Winnipeg. Oh, it's a Canadian, eh?
Oh, beauty. I was looking for some beer.
Saying she cried a long time for the pet she affectionately called her little boy. She was crying again on Thursday when the pair was reunited.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I got my cat back, Watson said in an interview on Friday. We love George. He's my little boy.
He's going to be dead in like 3 days.
Yeah, really. He doesn't have much more time. George was found wandering the street near Eddie Grant Avenue. You know, it's down by Electric Avenue.
That's right.
Actually, it's Grant Avenue. Earlier this week and taken to the Winnipeg Humane Society, staff there found a faded tattoo.
Oh.
So he was tatted up.
So George had gotten to the wild side during his
12
years
crazy
away.
And they began investigating to decipher it and find the owner. Watson's last name, address, and phone number had all changed since the time George slipped out of her Weston area home past a babysitter 12 flipping years ago. It was Watson's former sister-in-law who got the message from the Humane Society and she in turn called Watson. I said, "Are you serious?" Watson recalled. "I couldn't sleep the night before. I was crying all night. I was crying in the morning." She was told George had been hissing at the Humane Society staff.
"Look at me. But I got tattoos. I'll cut you.
I cut off one of you.
I cut you."
Said he calmed down when she touched him.
"Aw, Mama.
As I went to the kennel to pet him, he sniffed me, and all of a sudden, he was just rubbing up and down it like he remembered me."
He's like, "Don't be mad at me, Mama. I got tattoos."
"I carried him in my arms, and he put both of his paws around my neck as if he was hugging me, but he was really trying to scratch me and cut my throat.
And choke me."
Watson, who got George when he was just 4 weeks old and bottle fed him in those early days, says someone must have been caring for him over the year. You think? Because he's in good shape. Well, he could be one of those minimalist eaters. "He's really healthy. He's really healthy. He was well taken care of, whoever had him," she said. "I was so happy to get him back. I couldn't even imagine how overwhelmed I was. I never thought I could feel like that. But then I was thinking about how the family would feel and had him for so long." She posted her story on social media and noted. She posted, I don't know why he became Stockard. Carol Channing. She posted her story on social media and noted, "If the other family wants to visit, they're more than welcome. But George is truly our family and deserves to spend some years with us. He's getting old. He's going to be 14 in December."
What if it wasn't really George, but it was George's friend who said, "Give me a tattoo like my buddies"?
Yeah, what if it's George the doppelganger?
Yeah. Hey, here's a headline.
Capbanger.
All right, so this next one, I can see Lori becoming addicted to this new product because it's, you know, she's a chocolate fanatic. And anyway, headline is, snortable chocolate arrives in U.S. stores.
Sorry, man. I was doing a lot of chocolate over here.
One of the first things you notice after opening a jar of Coco Loco.
"Hey, man, you guys got some Coco Loco?"
Is that it looks like hot chocolate mix. Probably because that's what it is, I'm betting.
It's a Coco Loco.
Snorting a line of the brown powder with specks of white confirms its familiar flavor, followed by a rush of energy.
"Oh, there's a Coco Loco."
Americans are beginning to see the product alongside candy bars and energy pills at local shops as the Florida company...
How do they put candy bars and energy pills together?
I don't know. As the Florida company Legal Lean moves to take a European club drug trend mainstream.
Okay.
I could see it taking off as long as it doesn't get too controversial.
You could take off, eh?
Yeah. I can tell you right now, this is going to be controversial.
Yeah.
Anything going up the nose, it should not happen, except for...
nasal spray.
Or air. Yeah.
Or air.
Yeah, those two things. I can see it taking off as long as it doesn't get too controversial, says Nick Anderson, director of marketing.
Did you say Nick
Anderson? I did. I call him Nick.
Nick.
Yeah, his friends call him that. Of marketing for the five-person Orlando company. "We feel like we're cutting edge in what we're doing." He's an idiot. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Wow, that was pretty harsh.
That was really bad. I hope he doesn't
listen. You
probably
should apologize to the idiot.
I'm sorry, Nick. Snorting chocolate has received significant international attention since 2007. That's 10 years ago. I've never heard of it.
Wow.
That's when a Belgian chocolatier, Dominique Persoon, created a device he calls the chocolate shooter to snort cocoa.
Okay.
Not cocoa.
Okay.
Powder.
I just like to say, okay.
Health-conscious European club goaters.
Goaters?
club goers separately use raw cocoa pills and drinks for its mildly euphoric.
Are you on it now?
I must be. I'm on chocolate. I'm all
okay. Before
up.
You have to write a formal apology to Nick Anderson for calling him names, you know they've been selling snuff for years. You know the old grannies that take a little pinch of snuff and sniff it up in their nose.
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, it's probably just a chocolate version.
But wouldn't you sneeze? You'd like sneeze brown
chocolate
snot.
I don't want to sniff it up my nose.
Maybe that's what they give the brown cows that make the chocolate milk.
You're right.
They make them snort this stuff.
You know that chocolate milk does not come from a brown cow.
Does it not?
No.
Well, it could.
No.
Yes,
was that story over?
Yeah, that's the end.
From vulture vomit to...
Oh!
Oh, I don't want to read this. From vulture vomit to...
Oh, gross.
Buttock secretions of a weasel, scientists reveal the worst smells.
Okay, this is a gross story, but it's very interesting to me because, you know, there's bad smells, and some people really don't like the smell of skunk. I'm one of those types I don't mind it.
Well, you probably haven't gotten a big enough dose of it.
Oh, I've gotten doses of it.
What do you do? Walk around sniffing skunks?
No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't wear it as a cologne or anything, but it doesn't bother me.
Could have fooled me. Ever come across the soul-destroying stench of a decaying turtle? Ugh. No, I don't know anybody that ever has. Or the offensive odor of vulture vomit.
A decaying turtle is soul-destroying stench? That's pretty strong.
Who comes across decaying turtles or vulture vomit?
I've seen decaying turtles that like got hit by cars, but I've never stopped to sniff them.
Yeah, I just don't stop. I stop to smell the roses.
Sometimes
not
I do.
Not the turtles.
No.
If so, you may have been unlucky enough to happen upon two of the world's worst smells. According to scientists.
They should make this scratch and sniff so we could, like, prove it or test it. Test the theory.
I don't want to. Biologists have taken to Twitter to reveal the worst smells they've encountered while conducting field work in the natural world. But be aware, the responses might make you gag.
I bet these people didn't have to spend the first 7 years of their lives in a room with my brother. If these are the worst smells.
Alan?
Yeah.
How's Alan?
Go ahead.
Is he doing okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The debate over the world's worst smell started after one Twitter user asked biologists, what's the worst thing you smelled in the course of your work?
I bet this is an interesting line of tweets.
Dozens of scientists responded with gag-worthy, I think I said gag orders, gag-worthy reports, including the stench of weasels' buttocks glands,
gross,
secretions, and the odor of something rotting in the sun.
That's a rhesus monkey.
That's a rhesus monkey.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true. It's a rhesus
McKees.
Yeah, we used that word before,
have,
and
yes,
it damaged some of our...
We lost listeners.
We lost listeners. But among scientists, there was one smell that is more potent than any other. The stench of a dead turtle.
Ugh, I can only imagine.
I remember a large dead turtle someone found on the road and put in a bed of the pickup in the Georgia summer heat.
It had to be in Georgia.
I walked by and puked. Dr. David Steen, a professor of wildlife ecology at Auburn University, Alabama, said on Twitter. And David Sizdek, a wildlife biologist from Las Vegas, agreed, posting, dead turtles, the odor destroyed my soul.
Bless his heart and his soul.
Dr. Catherine Wiedemeyer Strumble, a conservation scientist, also weighed in, saying, can confirm I did get content analysis. Sea turtle stomach contents dried in a drying oven is awful.
I bet.
But the stench of a decaying sea turtle had stiff competition from a range of gag-inducing smells. One scientist complained of the bad odor from a long-tailed weasel's buttock secretion.
Would that be like gas, I wonder?
I don't know. The animals have small sacs, which they use to squirt out an oily liquid in self-defense.
I did not know that. So they're like skunks.
Skunks have two glands, by the way. Don't ask why I know this. Craig's random moment here. And it's two different glands that shoot out at the same time. And when they mix together.
Oh, really?
When they mix together, it makes the fun punch. It's the stuff that's just disgusting. Anyway, frog conservationist Jonathan Colby, who works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, said his job forces him to constantly confront the appalling odor of dead amphibians.
Wow.
When he went out there, he found like the creature from the Black Lagoon just floating face up.
Boy, that stinks.
Riding public transport with a bag full of these warm frog carcasses, I was left with plenty of leg room on the crowded train.
I bet he was. He needs to get a car is what he needs to do.
Quit caring. Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, what is he? He's a he's a conservationist. Yeah, he's not a doctor. He's broke.
He's broke. Yeah. Hey, guess what we found out here on Weird, Craig? This ought to make us your dream of being the most popular podcast in the universe.
No, we are the most popular.
Oh, that's right.
Podcast.
Well, this is one of the reasons. Because,
hey, by the way, I dare you. Tell five of your friends.
Please. And then go to weirdnewspodcast.com and leave us a message telling us that you've, anyway.
Told your five friends.
Yes. The secret to happiness. You know what it is?
Exactly 7 hours and 6 minutes of sleep at night.
Getting exactly 7 hours.
Who can get that?
I can.
The problem is, you got to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So you got to anticipate how many minutes it's going to take to fall asleep.
I've been doing that. I've done that my whole life.
And then set 7 hours and 6 minutes plus those number of minutes before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
To get the exact amount.
Easy. Easy done.
No, it's not.
And I am so
happy. I can lay there for a few minutes before I go to sleep. I can fall asleep real quick.
See, I read, but I start reading early.
It's not impressive. A lot of people read.
People are perfectly happy to get precisely 7 hours and 6 minutes of shut-eye, a new survey reveals. We already knew that there was a strong link between the amount of sleep we get and our well-being. Now it appears there is a very tight margin. Participants who rated themselves mostly happy, people sleep a little bit less than the perfectly happy people getting 7 hours. And those who say they were somewhat happy snoozed for 6 hours, 54 minutes.
This is bunk.
The study of 2,000 people shows less than 6 hours.
Is somebody in Florida doing this? Is Florida pulling our chain?
Less than 6 hours and 48 minutes of sleep meant complete unhappiness in relationships, constant worry.
Maybe you're just a goober.
And never a shred of gratitude, the reports. Maybe you're right. Maybe these people that have no gratitude, they're unhappy in their relationships, they just don't sleep enough.
Well, this sounds exactly like me, and I sleep all the time.
7 hours is...
You got nothing to say about that.
Nothing. 7 hours is the minimum amount of sleep for adults recommending by the NHS. But perhaps hitting the snooze button for an extra 6 minutes is a good thing. In line with the previous...
It's a great thing, especially if you do it repeatedly every 6 minutes.
In line with previous research, the new study found women struggled the most to get a decent night's sleep, and those reporting the fewest hours also said they were the least happy. I would be, too. If I wasn't getting much sleep, I'm cranky. But age is a big factor. The survey by a mattress company, Amerisleep, also found that those 25 or younger get a lot of sleep, regardless of happiness level. Yeah, but if you're younger than 25, your brain's not fully...
I'm 50 and I get plenty of sleep.
Single people...
In fact, I don't get enough. I'm actually thinking about sleeping while you tell me the rest of the story.
Single people report sleeping the most, while separated people sleep the less.
I'm telling you, my dream of sleeping becoming an Olympic event...
Yes.
It's going to happen. And I'm going to be a gold medalist.
You know, we could have gotten a job working for NASA for sleeping. We didn't take
advantage of that. Toddler pulls gun from toy box during child welfare check by police.
Oh, my goodness. What bad timing.
So the police show up, going to check on the kid, make sure he's okay. And little Timmy's fine. Little Timmy's got a 9mm in his hand. A Boynton beach toddler. That's a beach. Oh, it's one of those beach toddlers. Those that just roam the beach all day
rebels.
Long.
Rebels.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Found a loaded pistol in his My Little Learning toy box.
What's he learning?
Learning how to dismantle a gun, put it back together
pop
within a minute.
Cap.
Yeah, learn how to pop a cap. Hey, that's not... Hey, did you see the video, by the way? A little Craig random moment again.
Go.
Did you see the video of the shooting in Myrtle Beach?
No.
The guy was shooting footage out of the window, looking down on the street. And these guys are on a fist fight. Guy pulls out a gun, starts popping a cap at somebody.
Are you serious?
And then a cop gets shot and falls behind a bush.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to read up on the whole story, but it was crazy looking. The guy never missed a beat.
Well,
going for the Pulitzer.
If I can find it, I'll put it in our show notes.
It's depressing. I hope the officer's okay. I don't know. I really don't. I'm not making fun of it because I don't know if he's okay, but it was crazy.
Those show notes can be found at Weird News Podcast.
Weird Podcast, yeah. Right. Tell five of your friends. Hey, another thing is, I don't think the guy pulled the gun out of his My Little Learning toy box. Anywho, a Boynton Beach toddler found a loaded pistol in his My Little Learning toy box while officials were investigating his home for possible child neglect. The 3-year-old wanted to bring out his toys while officers were in his home, according to a police report. His toy box had several small books in it, but while officers were talking to an adult in the house, the toddler pulled out a black 9mm semi-automatic pistol. One officer immediately took the gun and beat the kid with it. No, he actually...
Oh, it was loaded.
Yeah, it was loaded. He found a bullet in the chamber. I just walked away for a minute. Sorry. He found a bullet in the chamber with the safety off. The kid didn't have the
gosh.
Good... The 3-year-old didn't have the good sense to put the safety on. Was it a Glock? Because their safeties are ridiculously stupid.
I like a Glock.
They don't have safeties.
That's my favorite gun.
Talk to your good friend Sean about that. He loves Glocks.
Me too.
And the problem is they don't have a safety.
They've
got two triggers in front of each other.
Yeah.
That's not safety. Safety
you
is
there's two triggers. That's safer than just pulling one.
No, there's a safety has a button on the side that keeps the trigger from even engaging.
You could drop a Glock out of a helicopter onto concrete and it still works.
That's fine,
yeah.
But it's not safety if you just pull two triggers right in front of each other. That's stupid.
You need to calm down right now. You're scaring me.
I got so upset that I've logged myself out of my. Anywho, so 3-year-old,
yeah,
gun.
Toy
it's
box.
A 9mm
yeah.
toy box. Rosalind Fennell, 34, of Boynton Beach, who the officers came to investigate for possible child neglect, said the gun wasn't hers and she didn't know it was in the apartment.
Right.
The kid went out and got it himself,
yes.
I guess.
Gun laws are real slack in Florida.
While searching the home, the officers also found a yellow box of 9mm ammunition on top of the refrigerator.
Had Elmo's picture on it.
Yeah, right. La la, la la, la la, la la, pop a cap in your old bud. I'm going to show you how to use gun right way. Don't use Glock. It's got a horrible safety feature. Next to the black scale and a pink makeup bag filled with six plastic. I just kept going. Did you see that?
That's good.
Plastic bags of white and pink powder. What the heck? Let's back this up a minute.
Yeah. She's not only.
So she found that they found the 9mm ammo.
The kid found it.
The kid found it on the refrigerator next to a black scale and pink makeup bag filled with six plastic bags of white and pink powder.
That's not hot
so
chocolate.
So that was cocaine and strawberry milk.
Quick.
Yeah. The powder tested positive for oxycodone and weighed about 0.6 grams in total. Fennell was arrested on the charge of child neglect Tuesday, and her bail was set at $3,000. Well, that's easy peasy.
That's cheap.
According to online court records, she was released from jail on Wednesday.
Yeah, good thing, too. She had to meet her dealer.
Right. She also, who's probably the baby daddy, she was also charged with failure to appear in court and violating release conditions. The record said an additional $500 was added to her bail for violating release conditions. She's scheduled to appear before Circuit Judge Charles Burden on July 13th. What about the kid?
I don't know.
They didn't immediately just take the kid away?
I bet they did. I'm sure they did,
probably
actually.
The kid went, let me say, get against the wall.
Here's
right,
a headline.
Kappas. The kid was really just a really old, it was an old man. He just looked like a kid.
A little bitty fella. Okay, headline is, Dennis Rodman gave Kim Jong-un a mermaid puzzle, a Where's Waldo book, and also Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. Former NBA player Dennis Rodman is hanging out in North Korea again.
They should make him stay.
They should, and brought really bizarre gifts for his friend,
Dictator.
Well,
they were at Dennis's reading level.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
On Thursday, Rodman gave Sports Minister Kim Il-guk an assortment of presents intended for Kim Jong-un. Among them were a copy of Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, a copy of Where's Waldo, the totally essential travel collection, a mermaid puzzle, and two sets of soap and two autographed jerseys.
It's like he's perpetuating it. He's giving like toys you give a kid.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird.
And why did he give them to Kim Jong-un this time? Is he still in hiding? Do they not know where he is?
Who?
Kim Jong-un.
Was he in hiding?
Yeah, they hadn't seen him for like a year.
He keeps showing up.
No, it's old footage. His foot was hurt, and they put him up.
Yeah, I think they figured that out, though. I think he came back.
He didn't meet Rodman this time.
I think he's on tour. He's on the Kill My Family tour.
While the puzzle and the Where's Waldo book could be for Kim's daughter. He's got a daughter?
Probably a bunch of kids.
The other gifts are surely for Kim Jong-un himself. It's unclear who the soap might be for. I bet Kim Jong-un kicks a little bit. You know, if you get close to him, I bet he needs some soap, you know.
Yeah.
He's got that greasy look about
him. The onion patch.
Yeah, whole onion patch. As for why Rodman went to North Korea to begin with, Rodman's agent, Chris Volo, said the basketball player is going to try to bring peace.
Oh, whatever.
Between both nations. That's the main reason that we're going, Rodman added. We were trying to bring everything together. If not, at least we tried.
So
he got a big check for going, I found out, too, by the way.
Yeah. So this basketball player is going to bring world peace.
Right.
What's next, Bill and Ted?
Maybe.
Bill and Ted did bring the world together.
Oh, I forgot. That's right, they did.
They really did.
We're trying to open doors between both countries. I don't want
first
those
of
doors
all,
opened.
First of all, there's not literally a door between two countries. It's like in Monsters,
it's like
Inc.
Narnia.
Monsters,
yeah,
Inc.
Monsters
or something. It's like there's North Korea, there's a door to South Korea.
One.
Don't go in South.
Apparently, the feeling Rodman has towards his North Korean friends is mutual. The sports minister told Rodman he's a old friend, according to the Associated Press. In the past, our respected supreme leader met you several times, and he used his precious time to watch the basketball match with the players you brought here, he said. In the past, he met you, so our people all know you well, and we feel you an old friend. The story ends with the line, we truly live in peculiar times.
Outrageous.
I'd say weird times. You know
what? Say leave him over there.
Yes.
Take Sean Penn with him.
Yes. Good
idea. How about
it? Yeah, how about that?
How about that? Cash me outside.
Cash me in no career.
Yeah.
How about that?
Did you pull something?
I didn't.
Brazilian tattoo artist punishes thief with humiliating forehead tattoo.
Oh, this is terrible. This is a bad one. I saw if you go to our website and click on this link, you'll see the actual picture.
What would that website be?
It's weirdnewspodcast.com.
And I dare you to tell five of your friends.
It's very easy to find.
Macon Wesley Carvalho dos Reis Good. A tattoo artist from the Brazilian state of Sao Paulo, SP, was I was going to try twice,
you did.
And then I failed.
You did try twice.
Was recently arrested and charged with torture after punishing a young man who tried to steal his bicycle by tattooing "I am a thief and a loser" on his forehead. You know what, guy? Stand in line, okay? There are plenty of others of us around that are losers with that on our forehead, okay?
Yeah.
The L on mine is actually...
I thought that was a birthmark.
No, it's an L. A disturbing video of an alleged would-be thief sporting a something tattoo...
What is that?
...on his forehead has been doing the rounds on Brazilian social media since Friday. In it, two men asked the 17-year-old terrified boy...
Sure.
...to tell them what he wants to have tattooed on his forehead, and then forced the answer out of him, thief.
I'm sure that's what he answered.
After the humiliating tattoo is completed, they again force him to say why he had received the bizarre artwork, and he admits that he had tried to steal a bicycle. Police were able to track down Carvalho dos Reis and de
I thought you were Spanish for a second. Yeah, that was good.
And place them both in custody under charges of torture. The two confessed that they had indeed inked the humiliating messages on the boy's forehead, but said that they had let him go after that. They explained the sick act as a lesson and a form of punishment for trying to steal a bicycle.
Well, they judge, jury, and executioner now?
Yeah, his name's Carvalho dos Reis Dredd.
That's good. Yeah, Dredd.
Dredd. As of Saturday, the boy hadn't been found, but as news of the torture he had been subjected to spread around Brazil, a man who claims to have known him ever since he was a boy started a crowdfunding campaign to have the tattoo removed and pay for psychological treatment for the victim. All the money will go to the grandmother of the victim. What? She got it? She got a tattoo too or something?
No, he's only 17.
Oh, who's responsible for him? The goal of 15,000 Brazilian reais? $15,000 has already been met. You're going to find at the bottom of a cliff, they're going to find a rock with a bloody imprint of that tattoo.
Yeah.
Backwards.
Yeah. All right, here's a story.
That was a little bit glib.
Yeah, a little glib. That's okay.
A little daft.
I might cut that.
A little glib, a little daft.
Whatever.
A little daft, glib.
That's okay. Good.
What?
Here's a story, Craig, we can get behind. It's a new diet plan. You heard about this?
No.
Headline is, man loses 32 pounds eating only ice cream for 100 days. I could do that.
The drawback was he also had a massive heart attack.
Andrew Howard Crow, a 32-year-old stunt dieter. A stunt dieter.
Stunt dieter?
That's what I need
Wait
to do.
Wait a minute.
That's
they
a job?
They didn't tell us in school that would be a job.
He's a YouTuber from Loveland, Colorado. Recently underwent an unusual diet in order to prove that you can eat pretty much anything and still lose weight as long as you keep an eye on your caloric intake.
Yeah, but I'm excited. A spoonful is going to be...
For 100 days straight, he ate only ice cream, drank a small protein shake, and some alcohol. Well, that's not only ice cream. I'm here to tell you, that's other stuff, too. And he still managed to drop...
I like how these headlines are always completely
They're
wrong.
They're so wrong. Ever since starting his abs and ice cream YouTube channel back in 2011, Howard Crow has been trying to prove that weight loss ultimately comes down...
It's true. That's
yeah, it
true.
Does. That's
that is
a
true.
Fact on how many calories you put into your body and how many you burn. It doesn't matter if you eat chicken breast or brown rice, but the thing is, you can eat so much more chicken breast and brown rice than you can other things. So,
but if he's one of those people that don't eat for 3 years at a time?
Yeah, the food-free people.
Yes.
The breatharians. The whole point of this demonstration, Anthony says in one of his videos, is to show you, basically to prove to you in the best way I can, that you can eat anything you want and still lose weight.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Me eating anything I want would be ice cream right after I had a big bowl of spaghetti.
Yes.
Okay, that's anything I want.
Right. You can't. Well, I guess you can.
No,
You can't eat as much as you want.
Right.
But
exactly.
You can eat anything you want. That's what he's saying.
Yes. And that is true. If you just watch the number of calories and
take in less than you burn.
Apps like MyFitnessPal, which I know very well.
Very good one.
It'll tell you how many calories you can have. And if you stay under those, it's just math.
And my problem is staying
under
that.
But you cannot discuss it around the deli.
No, not in that line. You can't.
No.
His first stunt dieting experience was a 30-day diet in which he got 50% of his daily calories from ice cream. Work. Oh, I'll do that now. Mm-hmm. Work forced him to end that experiment sooner than he anticipated, but he still managed to lose a couple of pounds a week and got some ripped abs in the short time.
No, he ripped some abs.
He stuck to the extreme eating regimen. Later, he tried a 30-day diet where he ate only fast food products and again ended up an amazing 2 pounds a week.
Yes,
and some shredded
unlike
abs.
Unlike, what's his face?
Fat Food Nation or whatever
that
was?
Super Size Me.
Yeah, that was it.
The thing about Super Size Me was it was set up for him to gain weight.
Yeah.
If they offer you to upsize, which they always do, then you have to take it.
Yep.
So he would go three times a day, take the upsize on everything, and drink regular I call leaded soda. He'd drink the full calorie soda.
Well, it's much healthier than diet soda.
Well, and that's a different argument.
Yes, it's one of my favorites.
But your best arguments?
Yeah.
But calories... We're talking about calories, though.
Yeah.
He was piling them on.
Yeah, but the diet soda increases your appetite, which has been proven. So
this is not what I'm talking about.
Okay,
this is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is...
I'm trying to preach.
He's going into a McDonald's, and he's going to order his number one, number two, number three, whatever meal.
Number one.
He's going to automatically... It's a Big Mac meal.
That's my favorite.
He's going to automatically take the upsize when they offer it to him.
Yes.
If they suggest you want the large or the medium, he's going to go for the large.
Right.
That's his rules.
That's right.
So he's going to have a 1,200 calorie to 1,400 calorie meal right there.
Three times a
day.
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
2,200. It's
going
to be more than that. 2,200 because he's going to take soft drink. No, back to the soft drink. He's going to get a regular soft drink.
Yeah, but the fries
have
more
calories. It doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't matter, though.
It's not all calories. I think a large Coke at McDonald's is 170 calories. I would do the math, but we're standing close to a deli.
Three times a day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
My what I'm trying to get at, what you're so fighting
go ahead, I'm
tooth
sorry.
And nail over, is that he's not going in and getting a diet soda. He's getting every single calorie. If they offered him six apple pies, he's going to take it because that was his rule.
Oh, so would I.
Yeah. So my point is that he was set up to gain weight anyway. It wasn't a fair fight.
You ever get one of those apple pies and ask them to put cheese on top of it?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember the apple pies when they used to deep fry them?
Yes.
Those are the best.
Those are the best, yeah. Now they are.
Can we get back to the story?
Healthy or something. So, however, Anthony still felt that he wanted to finish the ice cream experiment and that he had opened his YouTube channel for. So, in January of this year, he came up with an even more extreme version of it, 100 days of eating only ice cream and drinking protein shakes and alcohol. You're probably wondering why he included alcohol in his diet. Actually, I was wondering that. According to a dieting myth, a person can lose weight if they drink alcohol, which the Colorado stunt dieter says is completely untrue. Oh, it says they can't lose weight if they drink any alcohol. So in order to prove that this is only a myth, he decided to include the occasional glass of liquor to his already strange diet. I wonder how his stomach reacted to all this. That's a lot of sugar. Anthony's 100-day diet began in January and ended last month with some interesting results. During that period, he kept a close eye on his caloric intake, 2,000 calories a day of ice cream combined with 500 calories. From protein powder and or alcohol. At the end, he was 32 pounds lighter than when he started.
We should do the DQ Buster Bar diet.
Let's do it. As an experiment.
As an experiment.
Just as an experiment.
We're going to eat them all day long, every day.
Every day, and as many as we want.
As soon as they offer to give them to us for free.
Yeah.
You had this dreamy kid look in your face. Yeah.
All right, here's the Flash Chackas top 10
list. Get it right. It's the Flash Chackas top 10 list.
That's a good one this week, too, Craig. Top 10 bizarre conspiracy theories about album cover art. And this comes to us from listverse.com. And while you're on the internet looking at listverse.com, run on over to weirdnewspodcast.com.
You're not pandering today, are you?
Number 10.
Tell five of your friends, by the way.
Number 10, Paul McCartney is dead. The Abbey Road album cover. On this album cover, John, George, Ringo, and Paul walk across the street as if in a funeral procession, with their outfits representing their respective roles in the ceremony, white for a clergyman, jeans for the gravedigger, black for the undertaker.
Well, that's racist.
And barefoot Paul is the dead man. Other clues about the cars in the background, their license plates, and other details have been pointed out as well.
So they get number 9, too?
Yeah, same one, but different album.
Paul McCartney is dead, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Great album.
Conspiracy theorists also point out many clues on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which came out in 1967. Good year, by the way.
That was a great year.
Some of main points include the different ways that Paul stands out amid the chaos and characters differing from the other Beatles. He carries a woodwind instrument. Well, that's just true.
Only
dead.
Only dead people carry
woodwind. Yeah. while the others carry brass instruments. I said, brass instruments?
That's in brass monkey.
That funky monkey? An open palm hovers above his head, alluding to a priest's blessing. On the back of the album, Paul stands with his back to the camera while the others face front.
Now, we've discussed this theory before, but I find it extremely interesting. What if one day we find out that this really, they did find a look-alike and a sound-alike?
You know what? That's the guy that's been singing the whole time.
He's so good.
Yeah, who cares?
Really.
You know? I don't care about the dead guy anymore.
Number eight, another.
That just sounded harsh, didn't
that
it?
That does.
Yeah.
Way to go. Number eight, another one of my all-time favorite albums.
I love this album.
So good.
I'm in third grade when this album came out. That's how old I am now.
Supertramp's Breakfast in America predicted 9-1-1 or 9-11.
Who says 9-1-1?
I was
just calling the police. 9-11, you
9-11.
You freak.
This theory suggests that 1970s rock group Supertramp eerily predicted 9-11 with its Breakfast in America album cover.
Because there was a waitress on it.
22. No, it's where the orange juice was. 22 years in the future. From its 1979
I knew it
release.
Wasn't the waitress snapperhead. I was joking.
The cover of the famous album shows a view of New York City skyline through the window of a plane with a woman holding a glass of orange juice. Believers of this theory have pointed to several details that supposedly predict the 2001 attack on the Twin Towers. The title, Breakfast in America, refers to the time and the location of the attacks. Breakfast,
okay.
America, that's true. The morning in America's most popular city. The glass of orange juice positioned directly in front of the Twin Towers in the image is said to represent a fireball.
No, from it represents a glass of orange juice.
It represents a fireball from a plane crash. Additionally, when the album cover is seen in a mirror, the letters U and P and the word Supertramp at the top are said to appear as the numbers 9-11. I tested that and they do.
Okay.
They do look like 9-11 because they're cut off. Directly above the towers, Craig. That was number eight.
That's actually a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Number seven.
Yeah.
David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust predicted the rise of Kanye West.
He rose?
Yeah, he actually got up. It actually predicted he would get up one day.
Wow.
This bizarre theory says that David Bowie predicted the rise of musical... Okay,
oh,
I'm not using the term musical artist with Kanye West.
He's an artist, all right, but it's a con artist.
Yeah. Bowie's album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, was released in 1972. The iconic album cover shows Bowie standing in an alleyway under a sign that says K. West.
Well, there you go.
It must be true. Conspiracy theorists have rejected proof that the sign alludes to the name of a former tailor in London, instead insisting that it is direct reference to Kanye West. Bowie's last album released before his death, Black Star, is also seen as evidence for this theory. Because David put all that in there after they said all this, right?
Yeah, he did.
Certain lyrics discuss the death of the musical icon, Bowie, and that icon's replacement by a black star. The black star said to be Kanye.
That's right.
Because Kanye's going to replace David Bowie, who replaced Bowie as musical god.
He tried to replace Freddie from Queen, too. Freddie Mercury's.
That was a great video.
Oh.
Anyway, that's a bunch of bull. Hey, yeah. Go number six.
Number six. I don't even know who this is. I have no idea who this is. B.O.B.'s Psychedelic Thoughts proves he's in the Illuminati. Well, I don't doubt that. Many celebrities and musical artists have been accused of Illuminati membership over the years. American rapper B.O.B. is one of them. And the cover art of his 2015 album, Psychedelic Thoughts.
He can't even spell psychedelic.
Or thoughts.
Look or thoughts.
Is thought to be confirming of this. Upon its release, fans lashed out against the artist on social media, stating that the strange imagery proved B.O.B. was in the Illuminati and that he worships Satan. B.O.B. has denied these claims and said that the album is actually Hindu, the Eastern-influenced religion, which has chosen as a theme to give the album a psychedelic and spiritual feel.
All I can say to that is...
Go ahead.
Ozzy, oi, oi, oi.
I still had that clip.
Number five.
Yeah.
Megadeth, The World Needs a Hero, and Donald Marshall.
You know, I saw Megadeth live one time. It's better than seeing them dead, although it is Megadeth. But they opened up for a band I went to see.
I'm not interested in this story.
I just don't see me at a Megadeth concert.
Me either. This one is a little complicated, so stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Marshall is a conspiracy theorist who claims to have been part of an Illuminati cult when he was younger.
They don't let kids in the cult. Oh, maybe he wasn't that much younger. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Since 2011, he has spawned some strange theories about his involvement with the group and their disturbing practices. One of Marshall's claims is that he actually is the ghostwriter of many popular songs, including hit songs. This is like Chuck Barris and the
being, oh, it is.
Being a hitman.
Except Chuck Barris is true. I don't buy this
as far
one.
As you know.
Yeah.
Including hit songs by Miley Cyrus, Heart, Metallica, Megadeth, Gautier. Is it Gautier?
I have no idea who
Gautier.
That is.
Every time I try to say it right, somebody tells me I'm saying it wrong.
Who is that? I've never heard of
he's
Gautier.
He's that someone that I used to know, that song.
You know, don't know it.
Beyonce and more. His proof? Marshall claims the upside-down man on the cover of Megadeth's 2001 album, The World Needs a Hero, is his clone, even posting a picture of a side-by-side comparison of his face and the album
cover. Well,
that
proves it. That does it for me, anyway. Number four.
Oh, not two and one.
He's back. Kanye West, So Help Me God. When Kanye West revealed the cover art of his album.
I thought you were saying that.
So I may as well. It immediately sparked conspiracy theories about hidden meaning such as.
I meant to ask you, should we take an intermission? Because this is a really long top 10 list.
Oh, it's a good one, though.
Should we play some intermission music and then come back?
Yeah, okay.
Darn it.
Okay. Some fans and theorists across the internet suggested that this was a 13th century symbol representing the Virgin Mary and signified a tribute to his mother. Others, however, allegedly darker theories. A significant one held that the imagery revealed Kanye's link to the Illuminati, offering arguments. You know what? He's not in the Illuminati.
He should go with Dennis Rodman over to North Korea and never come back.
That's right. There's four M's. M is the 13th letter, so there's some math here. And
don't even
10
dignify that. Yeah. Don't talk about math. We're too close to the deli.
Okay, go to number three.
Number three.
Okay, this one's spooky.
The Eagles, Hotel California, proves they worshipped the devil.
No,
it doesn't.
I don't think so.
The Eagles released their album Hotel California in 1977. The eponymous hit song has sparked many bizarre theories over the years, primarily because its lyrics are incredibly strange and vague.
Yeah.
One theory alleges that Hotel California is about Satanism and devil worship, which is supposedly revealed through the cover art of the album. The back cover shows the band posing amid a crowd in front of a building. Near the top, however, a scary, shadowy figure stands on the balcony, allegedly Satan.
Well, that proves it, Craig.
It's probably Dave the custodian or something. I clean up here at the Hotel California.
I'm not Satan.
The Eagles have denied this widespread theory, saying that the figure is a woman hired for the photo shoot.
Okay, number two, Radiohead's Kid A predicted 9/11. Here's another 9/11 conspiracy theory, this time claiming that Radiohead's 2000 album, Kid A, predicted the 2001 terrorist attack. This theory was first perpetuated by writer Chuck Klosterman. Now, he's pretty cool.
Chuck Klosterman.
In his book, Killing Yourself to Live. What a weird title. It claims that Kid A predicted 9/11, almost exactly 1 year before it happened. In his book, Klosterman writes that the songs on the album tell the story of 9/11 through their sequence and change in the music, and most importantly, their lyrics. I'm certain Kid A is the official soundtrack for September the 11th, 2001, Klosterman writes. This isn't boring. This is good stuff. Many say that the album's front cover, inside art cover, and secret hidden booklet in the packaging all feature fiery and disturbing images. I'm sure they do, including what are said to look like two towers burning in one corner. You got number one, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Number one.
Yes.
Michael Jackson's.
Oh, good.
Blood on the Dance Floor predicted 9/11.
That's the third one, the third 9/11 prediction. We can't do that, but go ahead. Do it anyway.
Finally, because you haven't heard enough about 911. I said 911 like you. Yeah. Crap.
It's going in. You got to keep going. Yep.
Finally, because you haven't heard enough about 9/11 conspiracy theories, here's another. Some people believe that Michael Jackson was a psychic.
Right.
And also predicted the infamous date with the cover of his 1997 album, Blood on the Dance Floor, his story in the mix. On the cover, Michael Jackson stands in front of a city skyline with billowing clouds in the background. Well, that certainly must mean.
It could be smoke, man.
It could be two smokestacks, and somebody would say that's what it was. These are thought to be the clouds of dust settling from the collapse of the Twin Towers. The position of MJ's hands are pointing at where a 9 and an 11 would be located on a clock face.
Spooky.
Others claim his hands are at 8 and 10, making the time 8:50. The attacks began at 8:46. And of course, well, that's not 8:50.
No, it's different.
And of course, the all red outfit and album title is supposed to symbolize the bloodshed of almost 3,000 people that were killed in the attacks.
Three albums predicting 9/11, and we're out of time because the next recording group is standing at the door, so we got to get out of here.